The next slide, please. Jennifer has already covered the O-Net Online. It's a valuable tool for identifying national trends and helping in the career counseling process. Our goal is to consider information from all possible sources, and we look at internet resources, professional networking, knowledge of local job markets, so we can make an effective match between the beneficiary's knowledge, experience, and interest, and a potential occupation. We're very fortunate here in Virginia to have Virginia View, which takes the national data and breaks it down into regional and metropolitan areas within the state, breaks it down into 14 different areas. We have a very diverse economic situation here in the state and various employment opportunities. We have the Washington suburbs, the state capital area here where I am in Richmond, the military influences in the Hampton Roads area, and then some more rural communities in the southwest part of the state. So you may have similar situations in the areas you serve, and this really helps because and a beneficiary interested in a specific occupation would find some really significant differences in projections and compensation ranges in these different areas. So Virginia View helps us sort through this information so the beneficiary can make an informed decision that is consistent with an objective assessment of how or even if we can help in that process. So could I have the next slide, please? O-Net and the Virginia View are, as internet resources, we use in three major ways, and Jennifer touched on those. We use to explore opportunities that are based on a beneficiary's transferable skills and education and experience when he or she may not be able to identify specific interest areas. So in our situation, we also supplement this with aptitude and personality type or interest testing to come up with a realistic vocational goal, occupational goal. The second area is to explore potential occupations the beneficiary has already identified as an area of interest and see if that supports earnings that will help them be better off at the end of this process. And then the third part is to identify employment trends and compensation ranges in each and consider those factors based on our assessment of the validity of that data in our area where we're working. And we are just in Virginia, so I know there are people on this call who cover very large areas of the whole country, so information like this is really helpful. And as Jennifer said, we have to use caution here. Use your professional judgment because these projections are best guesses and trends do change. So next slide, please. This page is a sample of Virginia View, which is our state LMI information. And I chose an example here in small print at the top, sales representative, wholesale, manufacturing, technical, and scientific products. And I really like the way it breaks it out. We have worked with several beneficiaries recently who were interested in resuming careers in technical or industrial sales. And I felt that that was appropriate given their situation. So we looked into it further, and this is the type of information we get. So this shows that the employment trends for various areas in Virginia, what they are and what the compensation norms are. So you can see the map of Virginia with the yellow and the green. You can see there are better opportunities in the northern part of the state, certainly, than in the southern part. I have seen some of these pages where the entire state is red, and, of course, that type of occupational goal would be one that we'd really want to think seriously about pursuing because it's decreasing over time instead of increasing with possibility. The bottom figure in the center here shows 86,000, I believe, which is the compensation range around Richmond for this particular occupation. The statewide figure right above that is 93, and interestingly, the national is 84. So Virginia is a good state, particularly the northern part of the state, to pursue this occupation. It would be my guess that the beneficiary, if he or she is interested in moving to the northern part of the state, that's where there are more defense contractors, and that's why the average is higher there. The index down the right side of the page provides direct links to additional occupational information, and we've talked about how this can be really useful in exploring different occupations. The next slide, please. This is a sample for the exact same occupation from ONET, and they present it a little bit differently. I didn't show all of it because it goes on for about six pages, but as you scroll down, it moves through the different subcategories that are listed at the bottom of the page. So, again, this is all the national information. It also shows here off to the right in the middle whether there's a bright economic outlook, whether it's green, and when it was last updated. So you can reconcile the two, and in this case, what I found out on ONET was, of course, very similar to what I'd seen on Virginia View. Could I have the next slide, please? So this is our IWP, and I have changed it from the standard format to, number one, have short-term, intermediate, and then more long-term, and also where I can include LMI information. So it's the place we really try to pull it all together. Using this format is important for us because we can document that this information has been discussed, and I think that's always helpful. And we can document that the beneficiary and we as the EN can both support the chosen occupation as a vocational goal given the information we have available to us at this time. And we have an educated estimate of the compensation the beneficiary may receive in the next 5 years. So we join this with the benefits information that are in the mirror the same time frames. So we show how each of these levels of work and earned income will impact their disability benefits, both the cash benefits and the medical benefits, and what changes can be expected and when these changes will occur. So between this and the benefits information package that we put together, it should eliminate a lot of the uncertainty that a lot of beneficiaries face and allow them to focus their energies on succeeding at work. So in this sample, the goal is entry-level compensation in the next 3 to 12 months, and we show what that figure is. On a monthly basis, it's $37.50. And the last slide, please. This shows our intermediate and long-term goal section. So it shows where we would like to be with this beneficiary in the next, in year two of this plan, and then also in year 3 through 5. And it shows what this person's hopes are and what we can support them in pursuing in this occupation. So I hope this has been useful for you, and I'm very willing to talk with any of you further if you have any questions. My contact information is at the end. And now I'd like to turn it over to Kevin Nickerson, who will share with you how he uses LMI in New York State. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Sherman. And I appreciate that everyone's here with us today. Let me start off by saying that while I'm not an expert on LMI, what I plan to discuss today is how we use this information day-to-day with our customers. And thankfully, I don't think you have to be an expert. You just have to know where to find things. And what I will review with you, as Jennifer mentioned, is what is more considered traditional LMI. Additionally, in New York, I think folks should know that we are a Disability Employment Initiative state, which there are about 23 now, and most of our job centers are operating as employment networks. So in terms of what this does for us, I think we kind of heard this throughout the presentation today, but it does help us to see trends in employment locally, regionally, and you'll see how that's broken down in statewide based on what I'll show you. I do think it provides a platform for us to assist ticket holders who are unsure of their career direction, especially as a part of the career exploration we provide. In most of the job centers, it's not only the employment counselor, but often in our offices, employment counselors will use this information in their discussion with their customers. But in states like ours that have the DEI grant, there will also be disability resource coordinators who are often working directly with ticket holders and also use this, and you're going to see later, I'm going to show you how we've incorporated them. For the workforce system, it definitely helps to define the demand occupations, which also influences training dollars we can spend on customers. And I've given a link here to our New York State LMI homepage, which I'm going to show you on the next slide. So I'm going to kind of walk you through how I would use this, okay? And on the left, you'll see here's some options we have, and I'm going to look at the regional data. But, you know, as we discussed, there's many uses of labor market information. However, for purposes of serving our ticket holders, based on the region the individual wants to work in, obviously regional data is most useful for our job development efforts. And on this homepage, there are a number of research articles also, if you see right there in the middle, that talk about the general health of the state economy as well, which our workforce professionals are encouraged to look at as well. Next slide. So after clicking through that, that would bring us to this next page eventually. Here it comes. And again, next step is to choose that region that you're interested in seeing more about. In this example, I chose the southern tier, which is where I'm located. So you see on the left, that's how you refine it. It brings you to this page. And then under that, you're going to see a bunch of options. And the next slide I'm going to show you kind of takes us to that next option I chose. Okay, great. One of the areas we examine more closely once we boil down to regional data is firm expansions and contractions. And a number of years ago, after working here, I learned that actually from our employment counselor. This gives us an idea of what businesses are expanding in the region, which can influence the direction of our job seekers in many cases. From this page, there's also, if you notice there, a map of county employment rates, which is interesting to examine, and it'll show a comparison of all counties in the state. Why would I look at that? Well, sometimes it's of interest if a job seeker is willing to move, as this may influence their decision. And then further down this page, there's also highlights of economic activity in the region we chose. And this is important as well, the contact information for the DOL labor market information expert, who I've called before, to clarify things. Okay, we can move on. Okay. So now that we've clicked through, we're seeing this page that provides us the expansions, openings, and recalls. So under expansions and contractions, the DOL provides a monthly snapshot of major activities of interest. In this example, it discusses a recent $686 million grant that Lockheed Martin received, which is a large military contractor in our region. Additionally, the article discusses a variety of developments underway in the downtown Ithaca area. That's the city I work in, including new and expanding hotels, retail expansions in the downtown area, etc. So that's useful for the obvious reasons. These employers are folks we may want to speak to about employment opportunities they will have currently or coming up, assuming they match the employment goals of our ticket holders, of course. And we can move to the next slide. So bringing it back to what we do here in New York and our sort of process, I thought I'd walk you through our intake process. So we've created a useful intake form, which encourages our disability resource coordinators to look at labor market information. And I'm going to show you that form in just a second. But the form collects basic information on potential ticket holders we might serve. based on the information, we examine whether our services that we can provide are a good fit for the ticket holder that's come through the door. If not, we have processes to refer them to other service providers, or we may say that they are and develop an IWP as a result of this intake process. Okay, I think we can go to the next one. I think that's where I show. Oh, there it is. Okay, our intake form. So this is just kind of a snapshot of this, and you know, I'm going to show you the bottom here in a second, but it just basically covers some demographics, you know, how we would find them in our system. If you notice, there's a benefits section, and you know, I've been a benefits planner for many years. You're going to see in an example I'm going to talk about here how that fits into all this, but also history with VR, recent work activity. These all seem like questions we should be asking as ENs, don't they? And they'll help guide us not only from the business side of the fence as an employment network, but more importantly, from the customer's point of view. Is this based on their interests and needs, something we can help with? Okay, we can move to the closer shot at the bottom here. There we go. Okay. And by the way, I just figured out, folks, on the right-hand side of the screen, you can scroll down if you can't see this whole thing on your own computer there. So a closer look at this section of the intake that addresses employment goals here. In our intakes, this does provide a link to the New York State LMI homepage that I just showed you, because we want folks that are filling out the intake paperwork to look at this for each case. It also provides information links here that we put in for Career Zone and Job Zone. These are both sites that provide a number of resources for job seekers, such as upcoming job fairs, tips for resumes, cover letters, you know, job listings, career exploration, and a lot more. So another note I wanted to put out there is that if, you know, not everybody's employment goal is going to be consistent with labor market needs, but it's useful to examine this. We're not really trying to change people's minds about their goals, but show them what's going on here locally. And that's our reality. So it also doesn't mean that we won't work with someone if it doesn't kind of fit the mold here, okay? But I think it's part of, as Sherman mentioned, you know, that opportunity of choice that we want to show people. Here's the reality of the situation today. Here's what you want to do. It might be harder, for example, if this is not a demand occupation, or even, you know, maybe there aren't many listings at all for this when you look at job openings. So this is just used for a guidance tool to beneficiaries and to provide direction relevant to today's labor market. That's really why people are coming here. They can pick up the paper, which, or the look on, online, but they really want to know from us what's happening today. And the next slide. Okay, here it comes. So another useful section on the labor market information site are the long-term occupational predictions, also broken down by region, as you can see here. So this slide shows us that the Southern Tier region again. And we find this useful when working with customers who are changing career direction. In the case of ticket holders especially, it may be due to a disability that prevents them from returning to their former occupations, as we all are aware of. So this predictive data sorts with a baseline in 2008 and shows the predicted percent change in a variety of careers that are expected to have highest growth. It's updated every 2 years based on a variety of factors DOL examines, again, for customers who are interested in pursuing a different career and or training. This page can help with career counseling we provide to customers. But remember, you know, and Sherman made this point too, that these are best guesses, and I agree with that. I think it's better to look at this than to not look at it at all. But, you know, it's not a crystal ball with 100% accuracy, but it's a great guide. And the next slide. So in this slide, it spells out nicely, I think, why we would include a review of occupational wages as a part of our career counseling with customers we serve. In particular, when planning with ticket holders, examining projected wages based on occupation makes sense. as we have to consider helping ticket holders lead the benefits rolls for self-supporting employment. Therefore, we should be crunching numbers with our ticket holders based on the career direction they have interest and aptitude in, and by examining the amount of benefits we are trying to more than replace with employment to determine if it's a career that will lead to self-sufficiency. In the case of a ticket holders who are on disability benefits, for example, a general rule of thumb I use when evaluating how much in earnings it will take to replace benefits is to add the disability benefits amount to the SGA level for the year. So, for example, if someone receives $1,200 in disability, I would add this year's SGA level of $1,040, assuming they're not blind, which is the non-blind SGA rate, for a total of $2,240. Generally speaking, a job in which the disability ticket holder is making more than this amount is what we would be looking for. I look at it as a sort of break-even point that makes it feasible to leave benefits behind. I think that example I just provided reveals my longstanding disability benefit planning knowledge and how this is tied to job placement efforts. So those are kind of multiple areas of interest for us in helping our ticket holders that I think we should be looking at. Okay, I think we can move on to the last slide where we can provide some conclusions based on what we heard today. And that is, while this labor market information is useful as a guide, you can see it does require some interpretation. And it definitely is not always going to align with legitimate goals of our ticket holders. Some additional tips. We do have to use this labor market information in context. So we need to know our ticket holders, talk to local employers, and read articles about the industries and jobs you deal with most. In other words, we can't get this job done without some networking with employers. And, yeah, we have to get up from our desk occasionally. Another tip, to routinely incorporate LMI when providing career guidance. I hope we've convinced you today that this is especially useful when ticket holders are changing careers, and we can kind of look at what does that look like in your area. Very different if they're willing to move anywhere, for example. And lastly, we want you to remember that understanding trends in your local labor market makes you more valuable and relevant to your job seekers, which in the end will make them choose to come to you for assistance. With that, I'm going to turn it back to our operator for questions and answers.
And at this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, press star, the number 1 on your telephone keypad. And we'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. And again, if you would like to ask a question, press star, the number 1 on your telephone keypad. And your first question comes from the line of Connie Devine. Your line is open. And Connie Devine, your line is open.
No, the question was answered. Thank you.
And there are no further questions in queue at this time.
All right, Stephanie.
You're still on.
You want to wait another? Should we wait another minute? Maybe folks might have more questions.
And again, to ask a question, please press star for the number 1 on your telephone keypad. And your next question comes from the line of Tom Muniz. Your line is open.
Hi, this is Tom from Colorado. And I guess my question is, to what level does, I'm a workforce EM, and so my question is, to what level does this information or does this resource come from you versus, as maybe the ticket coordinator, versus the workforce center personnel.
I can take a crack at that if you'd like, folks. This is Kevin. I'm glad you asked that, Tom, because often this comes from various places within the workforce system. So I did mention that employment counselors are often presenting this information to customers. Depending on the state, if it's a Disability Employment Initiative state and they have disability resource coordinators that are potentially working more closely with ticket holders, it could come from them. It could come from any of the staff, though. And just wanted to make this last point that, you know, when we have ticket holders in our job centers, it isn't just, for the example of the DEI states again, the DRCs, as we call them, Disability Resource Coordinators, that are working with that person. It's multiple staff within the system. So I appreciate that question because I don't know if I made that clear enough, but it's definitely not just one person that would be using this information.
Well, and I can see the value in terms of for example, and I'm sure this is the case for many workforce hands, is that there are staff that are constantly going out and identifying labor market information, labor market trends, and providing those resources to the workforce staff in order to help them do their job better, obviously. And so for me as the coordinator for the ticket program, I can see the value in keeping up with that information as it's made available, talking to those folks that are out there on a regular basis. So I think this is an excellent resource.
Thanks, Tom. It's a good reminder, I think, for all of us.
And there are no further questions in queue at this time. I'll turn the call back over to the presenters.
All right, well, I'd like to thank everybody for taking time out of their day to join the webinar, and a special thank you to Jennifer, Sherman, and Kevin for being our guest presenters. And thank you very much.
Thank you.
And this concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.